Welcome, class. Today I have with me Dr. Abdul Karim Sinno, chairman of the communication department at Clark College, a successful entrepreneur himself, and just a man full of wisdom. Today I'd like to ask Dr. Sinno some questions regarding entrepreneurship, and we'd like to start. Welcome, Dr. Sinno. How are you?
Good, Rafiq.
Today, I just have some questions for you that entrepreneurs might come across when they're thinking about starting their business, and then once they start it, how to kind of keep the pace going. So, my first question is, what tips would you give to a person who is thinking about starting a business?
Well, Rafi, that's a very interesting question. Absolutely, you know. The answer to this is contingent on type of budget, circumstances, geography, location, and many other things. But everything else being equal, I'm assuming small business, for example, you know, and you have to start from an assumption there, you know. One of the things, the nice thing about free enterprise system, that there is an opportunity at every moment for everyone, which is the contrary in other systems like extreme socialist and communist system. This does not exist, but the opportunity here is available. Some people have made it from zero and went very successful. At the same time, also, as much as there is opportunity, there is risk. And risk, fortunately, can be calculated risk. One of the things about entrepreneurship is really to find a niche. What is something that you can succeed in? First of all, successful in entrepreneurship to me is a attitude state first before it translates into financial success. You really have to have the enthusiasm for it. You really have the belief in it. But that said, not at the expense of getting emotional about it and start seeing things in a different way. You have to be very pragmatic in what you do. You look for an opportunity. And you check the feasibility. Is that feasible? How many people are doing that? Why other people succeeded in it? Why other people failed in it? Because there is nothing as good lessons as to learn from other people's behavior, both way, the negative and the positive. Once you have done the assessment, ask people to do research, even little surveys. That can help quite a bit. If you are thinking, for example, in establishing a computer repair facility, well, go ahead and do a little survey and see how much people would need that. And I'd be more than happy in future time if you come to research, I'll be sharing with you some tips and techniques about survey construction. But at this point, I'm mentioning it in passing. So just to get to the core point to your answer. So look for your attitude first. Look for the niche. Look for other successes and failures. And then have a good estimate. Consult with people. There are so many places where you can get free consultations. The internet is full of such. SBDC is full of such information. And there are so many businesses also, and big entrepreneurs and big corporates that can provide some consultations on that for free. As a matter of fact, they have excellent resources where you can get them. So look at it that way, okay? And then remember, being an entrepreneur requires quite a bit of time, quite a bit of effort, and quite a bit of perseverance. Things sometimes don't happen overnight. Many times you have to wait for to build a core. Here you have to assess your situation, how much you can do that full time versus part time, how much you know you have to continue earning your living, you know, for you and your family or whatever, you are single or married or have a family, and how much you can put to your business. That said, the biggest success of entrepreneurship starts with good question and good research. And stripping a little bit of emotions. Emotions are great because they are a motivating factor. You don't want to be unemotional about it. You have to have some emotions because they are motivation. But go ahead and use it in discretion and use it to the best, you know, and then make the evaluation and then you start your entrepreneurship.
That's wonderful. What would you say are some successful characteristics of entrepreneurs?
First thing that comes to my mind, as I said, is the attitude. Second is perseverance. And a person who has to be successful as an entrepreneur has to be persistent, has not to give up at any flaw that starts, you know, that's way people up or down. They have to be observant of what's going around them. The second advice practically should be the first, is observing for change. As a matter of fact, these days, most entrepreneurship is dependent on what kind of market you are serving. And remember that markets are dynamics, and more of such than ever before. The latest in marketing strategy for entrepreneurship is really, you have to answer customer needs of tomorrow. If you are answering customer needs for today, that's all right, but that will not carry on for a long time. So you have to predict change. You have to follow change, and you have to embrace change so you can address the issues that your target market would want and would need. Remember, people will be with you as long as you can service a need for them. The moment this need disappears, they disappear as well. And addressing these needs is dependent on you and only you, because they are not going to study it for you. You have to study it for yourself. And you have also, the success in entrepreneurship depends also on honesty, which is, again, number one issue as well. All these issues are very important. Being honest, being ethical, and deliver to your customer what you wish yourself to be delivered to if you were in their place. Do not play on terms. For a saving little bit of money, you might lose your reputation. And reputation can never be compensated. Money can go and come. But reputation is a very big issue that if anybody loses it, it's very, very hard, if not impossible, to get it back. So this is another aspect of doing business. Look at your customer or your client or whoever you are servicing. Look at them as partners. Do not look at them as only lucrative accounts that they come and pump up your bank account. If you look at them as partners, you get them forever. If you look at them as just financial resource, we know that financial resources drain. And we know that people who followed the long-term investment in their customers, building mutually beneficial relationships, those are the ones who continue to be. Otherwise, they are out.
What would you say for people who are seeking to actually provide a product or service of the future for their customers? As you said, it's more about predicting needs than really fulfilling them for the time being. How does one go about really predicting needs? How does one go about finding what will the customer want in the future? How can a person approach that?
There are so many things happening in the social system at given at any moment that point towards the future. Okay, popular culture is one of them. Trends is another one of them. Subculture is another one of them. There are so many things that are both the basic geography and sociology and economy of the entire nation is changing, not only in the United States, all over the world. The internet technology has created so many new opportunities and challenges at the same time. Do you have anything in that? Do you have a problem solver for that? Or do you want, you know, to go into that domain of work? There are the legal system. There is the products and services. If you look how these products are evolving from one concept to the other, it's great, you know, how wireless technology, how much it's changing our life. And the prediction is that more of such to happen. What about outsourcing? What about being efficient in production? What about cost of labor? There are so many things that you really have to study very well. And many problems are opportunities for solutions. So if you can provide something like that will be good. The entire important concept here is there are opportunities, but it also depends on which one you want to approach and how you go for it.
That is wonderful, and I have really an interesting question, which really centers on the day-to-day attitude of an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs, when they're trying to start out their business, when they're facing many different competitors in the market, and when they're trying to just kind of get going, they have to face many factors. How can an entrepreneur weather the storm of everyday dilemmas or everyday problems? How can they actually keep focused and still keep going? How can they be productive? Because I think a lot of people have great ideas, but in one way or another, they face fear or they face laziness. For sure, they can face laziness throughout the day. You know, they don't keep going at it. You know, and they have to. And so, how does one go about really achieving success?
Well, this is again another question of organization, of research, and of attitude. Now, many people are trying to be entrepreneurs because they were employed and they were not happy in it. Well, they're looking at it as a problem solving, and they expect to get the best immediately to happen. Well, for sure, many times there might be some problems where the comfort of having a check at every month will not be there. Many times it will be even tougher than that. Many times they have to go for getting loans. Many times even the loans are hard. They really have to really assess the situation very well, with optimism, not with pessimism. Now, probably I will share with you what we call the rule of thirds, you know. And this is a pragmatic way for entrepreneurs to just think more logically of how to set up their businesses and under which conditions. And it's so simple. It sounds pessimistic, but it's not. It's realistic, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, it's even optimistic. What the rules that say, estimate how long would it take you to do this business, to get it going, and multiply by 3. Estimate how much you are going to generate of this business, and divide by 3. And estimate how much money is going to take to do this business and multiply by 3. So it is, you multiply by 3, or whatever the time is. Let's say you estimated you need 3 months, you actually would need 9 months. You estimated that you want $20,000, actually you would need $60,000. And you estimated your revenue will be, let's say, $50,000 or $60,000, your actual will be $20,000. Now, you might do better than that on all these counts, but then you are psyched up and you are ready. If you meet these objectives, you are successful. If you don't, okay, then you wouldn't start that business. So this is one of the ways, you know, that we just give a pragmatic solution. I'm certain the books of economy, of economics have tons of formulas about estimating demand and estimating other stuff and setting price and all that. This is a layman formula that works very well as well, you know. This does not mean that we don't do our homework and study the economic principles and apply them. But as a general guide, this is more of what you call a parsimonious way of doing things rather of an arbitrary way of doing it. These are some of the tips I would share with your students.
Okay, wonderful. So it's really, really looking at a pragmatic way of assessing a situation and preparing yourself, really preparing yourself, not setting too high of expectations and not setting too low of expectations, but really just kind of taking a cushion type of an approach to a situation. You really have to build a cushion also in your mind too.
Absolutely correct, because again, the rule of thirds, that's what I am saying here, is that given that there is a niche that you have found, I mean, this is starting with a niche that you have established by research that, yes, it's feasible. There will be demand for it. And then this is a second stage now. The second stage, again, rule of thumb, estimate how long would it take to get that niche going and multiply by 3. Estimate how much it's going to cost you to start it and multiply by 3. Estimate how much profit you are going to get from it and divide by 3.
Well, wonderful. I believe this advice will definitely help people. And you have a saying that I really I carry myself, and that is if you do it, love it. Can you explain that saying?
This saying, as a matter of fact, I have been just discussing with a colleague who told me you made my life way better. And I said, how? He said, I just applied what you told me. And, you know, I have it on my blog. If you have to do it, love it. Because everything is an attitude. It's really, anything is in the external world. It's all in the internal world. You might have the nicest weather and you are worried and it means nothing to you. And you might have a storm and you are happy and it looks great to you. Even the heavy rain would look great at that point. And even the sun would look hot, even in a nice weather. It is all an internal state. Internal state, fortunately, can be defined. You can tell yourself that you are going to feel happy about something. You will wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have a better day today. And I assure you, even if that day tends to be adverse, it's not going to be as perceived as adverse as it would have been if you did not have this attitude. For example, in my daily work, there's lots of paperwork. And I used to hate that. But I said, why do I hate it? Let me enjoy it when I'm doing that. Why don't I instill that feeling that it's great to do it too? Like it's great to go hunting, which is very tough to do. Okay? But because I told myself it's great to go hunting, so I woke up at 4 in the morning, I go out and it's cold and freezing, but still I feel great about it. So it's the same thing, like if I have to finish a report, it's wonderful to produce something, you know, that will be of benefit for people to read, of benefit for you to get the job done. What's better than that? And the moment I started doing that, I believed it. Because we believe what we tell ourselves we are and we will be. And so on. It works for me. It works for others. As a matter of fact, I have heard so many people, the moment I say it to them, say, wow, it looks great. And they come to me sometime later and say, it does work. It does work. And just this day, I think a person told me, I am having great time today. And I said, what's happening? He said, I just done what you have told me. If you have to do it, love it, and I have done a chore that I feel great while doing it, and I feel great finishing it.
And in essence, it's really about it's about how you manage your feelings and your attitudes. So to say that I will have productive attitudes and productive feelings that will lead me towards greater accomplishment and doing good and making the best and most beneficial time versus having non-productive thoughts and non-productive feelings that will lead me away from my goals.
Exactly. You put your finger on the pulse of what really happens, and that's exactly right. And it's all in, try it, it will work, and I assure you, first-year students, just try it. It's a matter of attitude than anything else, and I think you will never resent it.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sinnoh, for this wonderful interview, and we look forward to speaking with you once again on upcoming chapters. And definitely, I think this interview will really help the entrepreneur in many different facets, from the attitudinal direction to the pragmatic direction in starting and running a business. Thank you so much, and. We look forward to talking to you again.
My pleasure.
Okay. All the best, class. Enjoy this lecture.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.